a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you are going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That is exactly what makes them extra to me, and I'm excited for you to meet them. Now, I know a lot of Manna listeners out there are parents, and we've all had people remark to us when our kids were little, especially, even babies sometimes, right out of the womb, about how they often bear a physical resemblance to us, you know, maybe one more than the other, you know, oh, she has your eyes, or oh, he's got his father's chin, or where'd all that hair come from? And I have to admit, with the exception of our third daughter, Josie, where you could literally put up a baby picture of Josie and a baby picture of me, and you could, like, you can't tell who's who. But aside from that, I never can see it. I can never see those resemblances. But I go along with it because, you know, you can't be a jerk and say, oh, no. But anyway, as our children grow up, those resemblances sometimes become less physical in nature, and they start emerging in more behavioral in nature. You know, personality traits and temperament. And in the case of today's guest, faith. We have a very special opportunity today to be interviewing a father of a previous Manna man, Jamie Wojciechowski, who we all met just a couple of weeks ago, and who, as we all heard, operates with an impressively, almost intimidatingly overachieving drive in all aspects of his life. If you remember that episode, with everything he does, including his faith. I mean, seriously, you raised a bit of a monster in Jamie here that we're all trying to, like, just keep up with him. But anyway, but today we get a chance to hear how, you know, the root system of a faith-filled life gets planted and how far back that goes. So in addition to being Jamie's dad, today's guest is also a dad to three other adult children, all of whom, like Jamie, are very active in their Catholic faith. He's a grandfather to 9. He's a great grandfather to 7. I think you're in town today, actually, for a basketball game for one of those, grandchildren or great-grandchildren. He himself comes from a devoted family and upbringing, which we'll hear more about today, including a brother who was a monk, an aunt who was a nun. He hails from the town of Foley, Minnesota, where he lived a lifetime of devoted service to his wife of 53 years, or 58 years, sorry about that, which we'll talk about also today, and a career of public service. In fact, he was appointed by the President of the United States, President Kennedy, back in the 60s, to be the postmaster of Foley, a post that he served for 36 years. So how cool is that? So lots to dig into today. Very honored to have today's man of man with us, Mr. Richard Wojciechowski. Hello, Mr. Wojciechowski.
Hi, Jeff.
It's great to have you here. And seriously, it's just, it really is neat to be able to spend some time. You know, we celebrate all of these ordinary men of faith on Manna, guys like Jamie, and people who are typically more contemporaries of guys our age, and we haven't had a chance to talk to the men behind the men, and so it's just great to have you here. So let's actually start with Jamie, and thinking back to, you know, being a parent back in the day when Jamie wasn't the old man that he is now. You know, when, you know, you obviously, and given your background and what we'll talk about today, you've lived a very faith-filled life. But if you can remember back to being a parent and starting to plant those seeds, when did you start seeing some of those things start to kind of bloom in Jamie, or any of the kids really, but since we know Jamie, we'll talk about Jamie. Like, did you start seeing that early on, or was it later in life that you started seeing those things that you were so deliberate about kind of start to kind of like take root?
very early in his life, And in regard to that, because he was so, we all thought he was going to go into the monastery and be a priest. Mm. And mainly, he would, what gave us that impression was the fact that he would set up an altar in the living room and put the tablecloth on the table and so forth, and had chairs for us to sit so that he could perform the Mass. Yeah. And of course, the girls and so forth would kind of laugh and try to make fun of him, I guess, you know, and so forth. And he was so serious, he would give us heck. So now, listen, now you guys have to listen to me. So anyway, he'd go through the whole Mass and had used bread for communion and so forth. We had a little chalice. And so that was, to me, so inspirational that, and we did, we all thought that he someday would be a priest.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of his indoctrination of being a good,
yeah,
good Catholic person.
That's, yeah. Did you have moments, you know, with your wife, and so whether it's Jamie setting up the altar in the living room or other things, where you would, you know, when your head hit the pillow that night, you just, you know, look at each other and go, "Hey, this is like, we must be doing something right." I mean, if he's choosing to play, you know, quote unquote, play priest versus play, you know, in the backyard digging up whatever. I mean, that had to feel so, like, kind of validating as a parent.
Well, of course, our family was, we prayed together and we did things together, and he showed different signs of his, especially going to church and so forth with my daughter, who had, was baby, basically a babysitter for him, mm, because he was like 8 years apart. Mm-hmm. So we just prayed hard. I mean, my wife was handicapped for pretty much of her life, and she always said she's offering her suffering, mm, so that for a reason. It isn't, she says, I'm suffering, but it's for a reason. And,
yeah,
and I know her big intentions were for, because I had a brother in a monastery, and yeah, we just would like to have another one, I,
yeah,
guess.
Right, right.
But
did you grow up in a similarly faith-filled home where it just, it you know, it doesn't sound like it was something that you and your wife were like appointment based in terms of faith, where like, okay, it's Sunday, let's do our Sunday stuff, and then the rest of the days of the week, you know, or whatever. It sounds like the home that you created for Jamie and his siblings was just, you know, God was everywhere all the time. It was like coming out of the walls. Is that a similar environment that you were raised?
Exactly. Because we prayed together on our knees. The whole family had to get down and get on their knees and, mm-hmm, say our evening prayers. Not so much the morning prayers, but the evening prayers. And thing too is my impression as a young person, and it's still instilled in me yet, is our home was decorated with holy pictures, crucifixes, mm-hmm, and so forth. And so I, in my home now, still to this day, and my wife was the same way, and so she always was buying statues and pictures, and so our home is just loaded with pictures, and, yeah, and I'm proud of that because, yeah, you know, people are afraid to hang a picture of the Lord up there. Or, mm-hmm, our home was dedicated. We built a home and dedicated it to the Sacred Heart, and Father came over and blessed it and so forth. And that was the same thing in my home, you know. We're from a family of 10, mm, 8 lived.
And wow.
So that was...
Where did you fall in the 10? Were you in the middle?
I was the youngest.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So I have one sister left, and okay, she's 93.
Oh, my gosh.
And so but we were all brought up that way, like prayed rosary, mm-hmm, constantly every day, you know, for sure. And, mm-hmm, holy water fountains by your doorways and, yeah, and so forth.
I do. I think you're right. I think those external things, you know, we talk a lot, you know, again, as parents about how, you know, to kids and say, well, you know, you are who you hang out with, you know, like you're, whoever you surround yourself with ends up being, it shapes who you are. And I think a lot of those environmental things are also influential. You know, it's the music you listen to. It's the stuff that you see when you wake up in the morning. And if you have a lot of those artifacts and reminders of not just who you are, but whose you are, I think, and especially for kids, I think growing up surrounded by that,
you see it all the time.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
You know,
is it, you know, so you've got a great blessing to be now, you know, witnessing and evidenced by today, where I think you're in town to go see a basketball game of one of your grandkids. So you've got generations of faith now, of faith upbringings that you're witnessing. Okay. You've got your own, you've got, you know, as a parent and raising guys like Jamie, and now you're seeing it with, you know, that next generation. How, you know, is it harder to raise kids? This is kind of a heavy question. Sorry. I just didn't think of it until now. But you know, given the fact that you've been able to see this over the course of generations, do you feel like it's harder for kids to grow up in that faith, like life, you know, where it's just part of who they are, compared to when, you know, you were growing up or when you were raising guys like Jamie?
Well, I was brought up in a parochial school, of course. We had eighth grades and lived right across the street from the school and church. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was so happy that I was able to have the kids. We have a parochial school in Foley. They're only sixth grades, but that was very influential to me to be able to go, where they would go to Mass every day,
yeah,
and so forth. And so it was a carryover to me from my days, because that's the way I was brought up. But the nuns, we were all had nuns, and my father was so involved with the nuns. He was a cigar smoker, so they would call him over to come on over and smoke cigars during their workshop in the evening, you know.
Oh, that is so funny. So the aunt that you had, was that his sister was the nun?
No, my mother's sister.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so cool.
I never knew my grandparents from my dad's side were a lot older.
Okay.
So that same environment carried over, I think, into our family, into my home. Mm-hmm. Of course, my wife was an only child, so they were very good Catholics and so forth, but, mm-hmm, and brought up very well. So I guess the connection between us was very much in common, you know, that, yeah, we lived that same kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was a beautiful life, really.
Yeah. Yeah,
I said, because we're so together, and we did things together as I grew up. Every weekend we went to some uncle, or all my uncles and aunts were all from big families. There was like 40 of them, 40 yeah, kids, 40. I mean, it was like a school. But every weekend we went, made ice cream.
Yeah.
And they were all very good people and, yeah, good farmers. I never lived on a farm, but most of them were farmers, so I was happy to go out there, and we can go up in the hay mound and,
yeah,
play and,
that's so cool,
things like that. And so, yeah, it was, like I said, all my brothers and sisters were all good people. And,
yeah. I think it's also when, you know, and even in answering a little bit of the question myself, I think, you know, because you do, you know, whether it's, you know, social media or just all these other distractions that young people have today, I think if you are blessed enough to, you know, whether it's through parochial schools or just to be carrying forward a tradition that your parents, you know, had passed down to you, I think if your kids don't know any other way, then they just, they don't know any other way. I mean, that's a very simple way to say it, but it's like, you know, from if you never have to really introduce faith as a new thing, like, okay, hey, now we're going to go get confirmed. If it is just part of, they've never known any differently, whether it's from the things on the, that hang on the walls or the prayers that you say, if, you know, if praying before meals is never, it's never been a big deal because it's just always happened. You know, I think sometimes we lose sight of, you know, our kids, they don't, the only ways that they really know are the ones that we expose them to and introduce them to, you know?
That's why I'm kind of happy with my grandchildren. They're all going pretty much through parochial schools and mm-hmm. coming home now, or to my daughter's place, and the little ones say, well, we got to say our prayers.
Yeah.
So,
so
it's instilled in them. So it's just makes you feel good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You mentioned your wife, and I want to talk about the relationship you had with her. How, before we do though, how did you meet? Did you know each other growing up, or when did she get introduced to?
We graduated together from high school.
Okay.
I knew him before that. I mean, the family I knew very well. And she graduated with me, but I never went out with her or anything.
Oh, really?
Until I came back from Korea.
Hmm.
And another friends of ours called me one evening and said, oh, you're home. So I heard you were home and from the service. And I said, yeah. So we're going to bring Doreen, and can we meet you at the bar? We'll have a beer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we got started.
And then 58 years later, that's amazing. So, you know, Jamie did mention when we had a chance to sit down with him that, you know, your marriage, very long, devoted marriage of, you know, 58 years, but it was one that was very much a marriage. I mean, all marriages are sacraments of service, but yours took on a particularly literal sort of meaning of service. In fact, in from a caretaking standpoint, how many years of those 58 were really, you know, she had some issues with arthritis and some other things, you know, but how early on in your marriage was it, did it become evident that this was going to be, you know, when they talk about for better, for worse, that there was going to be a lot of just, you know, work, you know, kind of on your part?
Well, basically, I would say 5-6 years, she got to the point that she went to this doctor, and I took her up to the doctor's office, and so I'm sitting out there waiting and waiting and waiting, and it must have been a good 3-4 hours.
Mm.
So finally I walked in. I was wondering what's going on, you know. So then the doctor called me into the office and so forth, and went with her in there and explained to me that we've got a problem. It's going to take some doing.
Mm.
And so you're going to have to maybe accept this and so forth. And rather than go into all the details, which isn't necessary, but from then on, it was like a different life.
Yeah.
Because she was demanding and to the point of needing help, in which
sure.
you had to feel sorry for her because she was hurting.
Yeah.
And she was on an awful lot of medication.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she was bedridden for the whole pregnancy of Jamie for mm-hmm. 9 months.
Wow.
And they had to take her off of medication for that purpose. And then, of course, all her pregnancies were tough.
Yeah,
she had
right.
a tough time
right.
and delivering and yeah. all that.
Because you hear this news, if you're 5 years in to marriage, you know, you're probably still in your 20s. Like, was it,
oh, yeah. kinda,
you know, so this is like, you know, where a lot of other 20-year-olds, you know, and even married 20-year-olds are thinking, like, their heads are in a much different place. You know, they're thinking about, you know, parties and travel and jobs and all this stuff. And I mean, that just had to be a real moment for you, you know, at a relatively young age to all of a sudden things get serious pretty fast. How do you feel like, you know, your faith was there, kind of, if you can remember back, kind of in that moment? Like, was it a, okay, yep, this is, it's almost like this is what I'd kind of been trained for, you know what I mean? Growing up in the house that you grew up in, and the prayer and all the scripture that we hear about, you know, trust and, or was there ever, did it rattle you at all? You know what I mean? Did it actually, you know, kind of shake a little bit of that foundation, and then you just kind of had to get, you know, both you and your wife just kind of had to get back on your feet, you know?
It never really bothered me in that respect, because for better or for worse. Yeah. And I accepted it, and like, if it wasn't for our faith, we'd have never made it, believe me. Mm-hmm. Because it was tough. And so we prayed so hard, we did. And we never went on a trip. We never been on a trip. We were, when we married, we had our honeymoon was in Duluth. That's as far as we ever went.
Yeah.
So we never got to go anywhere. People were going on vacations and sure. traveling. And until later in life, really, till, oh my gosh, we must have been married maybe 40 years, 45 years, I don't remember. But we got to go to Dallas, where my son lives, and that was just like a miracle.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I think everyone else was so excited to the fact that she was going to go on a trip.
Yeah.
So we drove down, and she was independent in her first part of her life, because she drove the car and went to St. Cloud mm-hmm. and shopped just like anyone else. And,
yeah.
But it got worse and worse, and she didn't drive anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, then when we went to Dallas, I got let her drive down the freeway, and oh, she just thought that was the greatest thing in it.
Yeah, right.
And I even rested. I felt very comfortable as she was driving. So. But anyway, that was the extent of our travel, because that's yeah. the only place we ever went.
Yeah. And, did she grow up with a similar kind of faith tradition and strength, or was that something that you felt like was another thing that, you know, with your upbringing, it was something that you were really able to kind of bring to the marriage and really help both of you kind of grow even stronger in faith? Or you said she was an only child?
Right. And she didn't like that. She wished she had a family, but she had great grandparents too, and they were very devout people too.
Yeah.
So her bringing up was similar religiously because of her grandparents, and her mother was a very good Christian, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. The father was in business, and he was very occupied with that, so he didn't have the time as much so as her mother. And so her and her mother were very close.
Yeah.
And they were high maintenance people. They had to have everything. But I always said that she were a spoiled baby, you know, but she wasn't. She wasn't. She was very good. Oh, she was a wonderful mother.
Yeah. Well, evidenced by the products of that, for sure. Who, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of our conversations on this podcast talk about the relationships that men have with other men that strengthen them, you know, that keep them, you know, kind of either on the right track or inspire them. You know, when you think back to, you know, and it's funny, because even though when I ask that question of a lot of guys, I say, you know, who are some of your vulnerable people? A lot of times they talk about their wives. Like, even though I'm asking about guys, they'll say like, well, actually, you know, my biggest influence and supporter has been my wife, which is wonderful. And again, so sacramental and correct. For you, you know, in the role that you, you know, played as a husband, and being, you know, not only the loving husband, but also the serving husband, the very much you had a lot of just like work to do. Who, and so a lot of the times where, you know, you maybe would have, or other guys maybe would have been able to lean on their wife for support and, you know, whatever. I mean, you actually spent the majority of your time caring for, you know, your wife. Were there, who did you lean on? Like, who were the people that, you know, kind of helped you just keep going, you know, were there, and whether they're guys or women, but I mean, were there people that, you know, you had that you kept close to kind of keep you kind of supported and going through that time?
Well, her mother and father were extraordinary people. Hmm. If I wanted to go someplace or if I wanted to go fishing or something, the mother would make sure she's going to take care of my wife.
Okay.
And we lived in the same town, so it wasn't no distance. But between her, well, one thing is, you know, we had, our children were like spaced out between between years. My oldest daughter, between Cassie, my next daughter, was like 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. So as we actually had like three families, because Jamie was the youngest, and he's 8 years to the next one. Yeah. So I always had a babysitter, basically, to help take care of the next one. So if it wasn't for that, I don't know. I did have to hire a housekeeper. We lived in permanently with us for a while.
Yeah,
but these kids. Unbelievable what they did to take care of each other and take care of my wife. Well, I had to work, and I was on the road a little bit because I was a training postmaster, so I'd have to go all over. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was the backbone of taking care of each other.
Yeah. I'm trying to get better as I get older to not give the caveat that I'll just refer to right now, because, and I'll say something like, well, you know, not to sound too like churchy or not to sound whatever, but like when I hear you, you know, tell that story and remind us of the spacing between your kids, you know, I think that's not by accident. You know what I mean? I think that's the Holy Spirit working, saying, all right, here's the deal. Here's how we're going to be able to do this family thing. Okay. And that's why it happened. You know, it's not like luck. It wasn't just, you know, looking back on it, that old babysitter thing sure worked out well. It's like, no, that's the reason it happened the way it did, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just think that's wonderful.
It was a blessing. It really was.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I don't know what I would have did.
Yeah.
You know, so they were so good.
Yeah.
Oh, can't thank them enough.
It's just wonderful. Just wonderful. All right. Well, hey, we are at the fun segment portion of the show, where we ask the same three questions to all of our guests, and then we get to listen to their answers. And so I realized that one of the little bits or jokes that I make is that our guests have had ample time to think about these answers, and I know that you haven't had a lot of time to think about these answers, but we're going to lean on all of your years of wisdom and all of those years of prayer. Because I'm sure you've thought about some of these. All right, so the first question in our fun segment is, if Jesus knocked on your door in Foley tomorrow and just wanted to hang out for the day, you know, just it's totally your call, however you want to spend your time with Jesus, what are you going to do with Jesus?
Well, I suppose, first of all, it would be unbelievable, and I would be probably flying high, but I don't know how happy I could have been to have him present in my home. And I would sure love to have him just kneel down with us and say a Thanksgiving prayer that we were able to have him come to our house.
Yeah.
And it's otherwise cook them a meal, I guess, and say our prayers.
Yeah. I think, you know, you and I both have small towns in common. So I'm from a small town, and I love everything about Annandale. You love everything about Foley. I think it'd be fun to just bring him around Foley, too. I mean, obviously, he knows everything about right. it, but it'd be kind of cool to,
take him to our church.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
All the old haunts.
You know. Yeah, yeah.
That's neat. All right, fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with any other guy, living or dead, famous or not, you wouldn't even had to know this person. We've had guys on the show cite saints or, you know, celebrities or whatever. And so you can, any other guy that you can think of, living or dead, and you're just going to go to church with them. Who would you go to church with?
Well, I'd have to say my son, my brother, who was a monk, Brother Gerard, over at St. John's, he was a saint. Mm. And he had Parkinson's, and he was an accomplished organist. He was an organ player at St. John's in the main church.
Okay.
But he just was so inspiring to be around because he was a registered nurse and so knowledgeable about everything.
Wow.
And but he, to see him adore the Lord and his actions, how he performed,
yeah,
I think he would be my choice as of right now.
Sounds like a neat guy, a real Renaissance guy.
A tremendous guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Yeah. All right, fun segment question number three, and this one I know you can call up any of your own examples here or come up with another one. But if you could give a piece of advice to a young man today about living a life that, you know, a life similar to yours, a life similar to those that, you know, your son like Jamie is living, you know, a life of confident faith. You know, unapologetic, just walking with Christ. You know, what piece of advice would you give a young man today about how to do that?
I guess I would have to give him the advice that I use for an example is that I seem like I'm thanking Jesus for something, if I'm doing something and I did it right. Thank you, Jesus. Or if I lose something, I go to St. Anthony. St. Anthony, you've got to help me.
Tony,
where are you? It's unbelievable. He finds it for you immediately. And so I guess my whole thinking and philosophy of my life is that if I see something, I thank the Lord for the beauty or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When I came home from work, I had inspectors over, and I got through it real well and everything, and I just can't thank the Lord enough. And I think my whole, every day I thank the Lord for being alive. I get up in the morning, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful sleep I had. Yeah. Everything I do today, dear, I'll do it in honor of you. Yeah. So I guess that's what my thinking is, and I guess a lot of times I forget about them, but it's not because I didn't want to, but I just maybe was too occupied with what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if for someone to live a life without Christ, I don't know how they do it. Mm-hmm. I just have not lived that way.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that I have lived the life I have, and I have a lot to be thankful for.
That's wonderful. I think that's the best advice to give. Mr. Wojciechowski, thank you so much for being here today. It was great to meet you.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.